St. Benedict Joseph Labre, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, children, these days, we mustn't forget we're having the feast days or the days of the death of a number of holy people, venerables, as well as of saints. For example, Sunday was Kateri Tikawitha, and she's a venerable, and I think I talked to you about her maybe last fall, Kateri Tikawitha, the Lily of the Mohawks. And yesterday, an interesting saint to whom I alluded briefly in the Sunday sermon, Father Damien of Molokai, the Sacred Hearts Father from Belgium, who dedicated his whole life to taking care of the lepers who were abandoned on a faraway island near Hawaii. And then today is the actual day of death of St. Bernadette, only we keep St. Bernadette's feast day in February, one week after the feast day of of Our Lady of Lourdes appearing to St. Bernadette. And that brings us to today's saint, who died actually on the Wednesday of Holy Week, but it was the 16th of April that year, and his name is St. Benedict Joseph Labre. St. Teresa, we've been talking a lot about her. She's a saint of the roses, isn't she? And if you get real roses from your garden and not the store-bought kind, then you can smell them and they have a wonderful fragrance or perfume. Well, St. Benedict Joseph Labre, if he came into the room or the church, you could certainly smell him, but his fragrance or perfume was not wonderful. He, you might say, is the stinky saint. But God has all sorts of saints in his garden. There was a big to-do in the paper a week or two ago about a certain kind of a plant from an exotic country, I think, which only blossoms, it's very big, and it only blossoms once every 100 years, and it's called the stink flower, because when it blossoms, it has the most horrible smell in the world. You could barely bear it. But nevertheless, people were going to, I think it was the University at Oxford, in their horticulture section, just to be able to see this because it's a curiosity, because for that particular plant, it will be another 100 years before it blooms. So, in God's garden, the little flower says this, there are all sorts of flowers. But the stinky saint, that's today's saint. He was quite different. He had this in common, though, with the little flower. As soon as he died, God himself spread the knowledge of him and the devotion, and pretty soon it was as though everybody had heard about him. The children of Rome started crying out, "The saint is dead! The saint is dead!" And then there were hundreds and thousands of people who just came out of nowhere. They wanted to pray at the saint's body, and then later on, after he was buried, at his tomb. For months after his death, and for several days after his death, his body was incorrupt. Oh, yes, this other interesting thing, because sometimes there's a link with the saints' children. For example, our saint once stayed and spent the night at the house of the Curé of Ars. He's the patron saint of parish priests, St. Jean-Marie Vianney, except it was during the time of his grandfather. And his grandfather gave this young man hospitality, little knowing that he would one day be a saint in heaven. Or maybe he did, because as a well-brought-up Christian, after he left, he wrote a thank you note to the grandfather of the Curé of Ars to thank him for the hospitality, and he always kept it. And the Curé of Ars had the letter after it was well known that he was indeed a saint, and he passed it on to someone, and that's how we know about this interesting little story. Our saint was an unusual young man from the very beginning, children. He loved our Lord very, very much, and he didn't care at all about this world. He thought he would probably be a monk, that would be the thing, but God didn't want him to be a monk. Like the little flower, he tried to enter the cloister when he was very young, but it didn't work out at all for him. God had a different vocation in mind for him. Because he was so holy as a boy, he was the oldest of 15 children, his father, who was a shopkeeper, he sent him with an uncle, who was a parish priest, to learn Latin, the lives of the saints, and the scriptures. Well, he never got too interested in Latin, but he loved to read about the lives of the saints and to study sacred scripture. Then there came what was called a plague, when everybody got sick and they didn't know why, and the plague is called cholera, and it's a terrible stomach kind of a virus. Well, his uncle took care of the people who were sick, and Benedict, he took care of the animals, because back then you had to take care of your animals or else you would have no way of making your living or having any food. And so he took care of the animals very, very humbly, even though it was very dirty and messy work. His uncle died, the priest died, and that was the reason for him leaving and trying to become a monk in different monasteries. But the animals that he took care of, they did very well. While he was in this town, which was called Erin, which is French for Erin or Ireland, curious name for a French town, while he was there, once upon a time, and he was going to classes himself, he came across a girl who was crying. She was younger than he, and she was all covered with mud, and she had lost her shoes. And so he helped her up and helped her to get all cleaned up and helped her to find her shoe, except the shoe was in the middle of a big mud puddle. Sometimes for fun, it's kind of fun to go and play in a mud puddle, isn't it? But this time, St. Benedict did it because out of charity. He had to go right down deep in the puddle and he found the shoe and he cleaned the shoe off and he gave it to the girl. Another time, he came across a girl who was crying and he said to her, "Well, why are you crying?" And she said, "Well, my stepmother won't let me come to school anymore. I have to stay home and work now." And so he said, "Well, come with me." And he took her to the church. And they knelt down at the door of the church, looking at the altar, and they said, "One Our Father and one Hail Mary." But when they came to the part in the "Our Father, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," he made her repeat the phrase three times. And then he explained to her, "Well, if that's God's will for you, that you're not allowed to go to school anymore, you must be happy, because you must always love to do God's will. But let's say a prayer for your mother who had died." And so they said the De Profundis for the mother. And he said, "Don't worry about your stepmother being mean to you. Our good God will take care of things. I'll pray for you. You just do the will of God." And then they said the prayer, "Praised and adored forever be the most blessed sacrament of the altar." Because our saint was very devoted to the Blessed Sacrament. What he did finally, children, when he wasn't able to go to any monastery because it just wasn't his vocation, was to travel around Europe on foot as a beggar, a sort of a vagabond. And he went from one place to another. He visited all of the shrines of Europe, but he didn't go as a tourist. He went with no money. His clothes were in very bad shape. His shoes were open and stones and water would get in them and things like that. And he just carried his prayer books and his spiritual reading with him. And if people gave him something to eat, he would eat it. And if not, sometimes he would even eat garbage or just go without food altogether. Sometimes if people, seeing how poor he was, but how prayerful, if they gave him a coin, he would give a coin away right away to somebody else who was even in more need. One time he did that, and the man who had given him the coin was insulted. He thought that he was making fun of him, and he beat him with his stick. Sometimes St. Benedict got beaten, and he never complained. He never said a word about it, and he never got angry or upset. That's how holy and humble he was, just thinking about God and loving God and wanting to do God's will. One time, this was in the church when he settled in Rome, he would go to one church every day for morning mass. It's called Santa Maria ai Monti. And after the masses were all over, he thought he had better sit down for a little bit because he was kneel on the floor for hours when he prayed. And the only place to sit down was a bench that was by the organ. But there was a dog on the bench. Back then, people used to bring their animals with them into church. Well, he drove the dog away, and then the dog's owner came along, and he was put out because St. Benedict had driven his pet away. You know how pet owners are. So he took his cane, his stick, and he started to beat St. Benedict. And he never said a word, and he never complained, and he just accepted it all because he knew that's how our Lord was treated, and that's how he wanted to be. After he finished all of his travels throughout Europe in such a holy penitential way, and he settled in Rome, what he would do every day was to find the church where there was exposition of the Blessed Sacrament. You know the 40 hours devotion we have during the fall of the year, children? He would go, and the people of Rome nicknamed him the poor man of the 40 hours. He was obviously very poor, but he would spend hours on his knees praying to our Lord in the monstrance, looking at the sacred host, and he would never move. And then, if there was nobody in the church and nobody around, he would talk to our Lord, and our Lord would talk to him from the monstrance. One time a priest who had hidden himself found that out. He was a very, very holy saint. And yet at the same time, because of the way he lived, he had no place to sleep at night. He slept in the Colosseum outside. Well, he was very, very dirty and had little bugs kind of crawling on him and things like that. And people didn't want to be near him. But he didn't mind that because he wanted just to be with God. And it was one more penance that he had offered up. Well, when the time came for him to die, it was Wednesday of Holy Week. He went to Mass as usual, and then he fell down the stairs coming out of church. And then some butcher from the neighborhood who used to be kind to him, he said, well, you could take him to my house. So they took him to the butcher's house, and they saw that he was dying, and the priest came and gave him last rites, and he died very beautifully and very peacefully. He was only 37 years old, but he was not only stinky and everything, but he was covered with sores like Lazarus, the poor man. But that's all right. Our Lord soon transformed him into glory. And then, as I say, nobody knows how, but all of the children of the neighborhood knew that a saint had died, and they were crying out, the saint has died, the saint has died. And that's why all the people came, and they prayed to Saint Benedict, and 100 years after he died, why he was canonized a saint. What could we learn from him? Well, we don't want to learn from him about not washing, because that would be our job to wash and to stay clean. And if you're a little bit on the smelly side, somebody should tell you, you should do something about that. But we could learn from him this, being kind to other children. If someone's crying or upset, if someone has lost something or is sad, you do your best to cheer that person up and to help them out, just as Saint Benedict did. And of course, maybe most of all, we learn from him to love the Blessed Sacrament. Willingly ourselves, without being forced to or reminded by anybody, let's try to make a little visit each day, because you pass by those doors many times a day. And when you do make a visit, or during Mass, or even the long Masses we have some days, try to kneel very still and just adore our Lord and just be with him. That's the good example that today's saint, the holy stinky saint, who had the odor of sanctity throughout him, that's the good example Saint Benedict Joseph Labre gives us. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.